The last time I preached, I spoke to you about the Anointed One. And of course, the Anointed One is Jesus Christ. But the idea is this. Just remember that if Christ lives in you, if you truly have received Jesus Christ, as He has become the Lord of your life, your Lord and your Savior, and you have the witness and the seal of the Holy Spirit in you, you know, not that you believe, but you know that basically you have been born again and God has created a new spirit in you and you become a new creature in Him. This is not something that we believe, it's something that we experience. Because what did God say? This is eternal life, Jesus said, to know my Father and to know me. To know these two things, this is eternal life. So the Anointed One lives in you. Therefore, you have an anointing in your own life. That means that you have been called forth and empowered by God to do a work for Him that He has chosen for you. It's very simple. But keep that in mind. Because if Christ lives in you, you're called to be His witness in both word and deed. Easy to say, sometimes not so easy to do. In my experience, it seems that most folks' words are the source of the majority of their difficulties. Not all, but most. The things we say trigger things in other people. And usually they're triggered by something that's going on inside us. And the fact of the matter is that we kind of foul ourselves up by, I want to say, misspeaking. But sometimes the problem is much deeper than misspeaking. It's something that's going on with us. And they say, well, gee, you know, everybody, well, take a look at the Apostle Peter. Some people refer to him as the man with the foot-shaped mouth. He would always get in trouble sometimes in things that he said. You know, oh, yeah, no, let's build three tents. Oh, let's do this. Good that we're here. Well, and you know, he denied Christ three times and had to be forgiven. But so many things that he said, there was a lot of bravado in Peter. But sometimes when push came to shove, it didn't work out too good. But in time, he learned, and then he got into a big fight with the Apostle Paul up in Galatia. That was another place where he got into, by what he did. And what he did there was, he was up there with Paul in Galatia, with the Galatians, obviously, in that church. And the next thing that took place is Jews came up from Jerusalem. And Peter separated himself. And Barnabas followed his example, and now he ate only with the kosher Jews. And Paul just called him what he was to his face, a hypocrite. And a big battle ensued. Got that straightened out. He had to repent of that. What I'm saying is, even the greatest people who have gone before us in our faith have had slip-ups. They've failed. They've sinned. They've missed it at times. And the whole thing is, that's not good. But it's not the end of the world. It's a time to take and turn things around when something like that happens. Now, when you consider, talking about Peter with a foot-shaped mouth, when you consider that words correctly spoken and words misspoken are combined with our inner filters that process what we hear, simple communication becomes complex. Y'all know this, in a heartbeat, and often leads to misunderstandings and arguments and unintended hurt. How many of you just start out with a simple conversation, it's been, a reply has come back, the next thing you know, you're upset, the other person's upset, and you say something you never should have said. Am I the only one that's happened to in my life? Now, y'all know that's how that happens. Let's face it, we can get angry. And filters, well, that's something, another whole other story. And those filters, these are real things. We know they exist because they come from our family of origin to the experiences that we've had in life, and they taint who we are. We may have been rejected as a child. And so when people say good things about us, we think that they're putting us on. We're always striving to do something else. We protect ourselves. We build walls around. We even wind up with spiritual issues that come in as a result of the things that have happened in our life. Now, so what I'm saying to you is communication is not as simple as we think it is. Sometimes we are not heard. Sometimes we can't explain ourselves. Sometimes it takes a few times to get it through, but by the time we're done, we wind up insulting somebody or misspeaking, and then we're all upset. Now, what I'm saying is this here. We do well to remember that Jesus said that we would be judged for every useless word that we speak. And I'll tell you what I think a useless word is. It's a word that is of no use, period, or that basically winds up hurting somebody or basically just causing confusion. So it's a word that just muddies the pond, so to speak. And we have to be careful with our words. We're better at what does the proverb say? Even the fool, when he remains silent, is considered wise. I want you to think about that. You don't know the man's a fool till he opens his mouth. But while he's sitting there looking intelligent, like a Great Dane I had, that Great Dane, let's sit there like that, look at the most intelligent dog. That was the dumbest dog I ever had. But she sure looked intelligent when she sat there. She had her own ways about it. A member of our church once commented, so they said, words are cheap, but there are times when all the money in the world can't buy them back. How many have experienced that? It comes out of your mouth. It does its damage. And you didn't mean to do the damage. You didn't want to do the hurt, but you've done it. And you can't buy it back. And for the record, it can take anywhere from 5 to 15 good deeds to undo one bad deed. That's the way it is. That's just a fact. We can measure that. When I was 19 or 20 years old, I contemplated the meaning of life. What is the purpose of my life, I thought. I can still remember I was down in New York City going down for an interview on Fifth Avenue. And there was a shoeshine boy down there. And he was polishing shoes. He was singing a little song. Come to my station. I'm going to shine your shoe, you know. And, you know, back in those days, we had a little saying that a good shine covers a multitude of sins. So I got my shoes shined, and he was singing his little song, and we talked a little bit, and I got out of there, and I just kept thinking about it, contemplating. What is the meaning of life? Why am I here? Is it just to get a job and, get going in my career? What is it about money? Is it about power? Is it about success? Success. And how do you measure success? What's success? Is success being having more money than the other guy? A better car than the other guy? A bigger house than the other guy? A more attractive wife? More kids? What is success? How do you measure that? And we all strive to do things, and we find out it's just difficult enough to make it through life. But we need to work at these things. So what is the purpose of life? I thought deeply about my personal experiences. I considered what were the things that were good and in my life and what caused me pain. Now, I used to be a pretty tough kid and got into scraps. I took a couple of real hard shots and some really tough beatings. In fact, one day when I was a kid just coming out of junior high school, I had been sticking up for, I was like a bully buster, but I got jumped by 7 guys, and by the time they finished pounding on me and kicking me, I was urinating blood for about a week. Now did that hurt me? No, because my guys came back down and took care of their guys and how that all worked out, like a little gang fight, you might say. But the thing is, that stuff doesn't stay with you. You remember it, but it's not a big deal. And I realized that it was the words. That I came to the conclusion that the words that were spoken to me that were negative, that were hurtful, that basically these derogatory words, the negative words, the words, they just stuck with me. And sometimes they made me want to do something to show that I could do it. And sometimes they just put you down. But words were the biggest hurt I had. So went to church every Sunday. I made all my vows, did everything I could. But you know what? I thought to myself, what can I do if there's a God? Now I'm beginning to question God at this point in time. If there's a God, and I believe that there was, what would he want from me? And I thought, I know. He would want me never to say anything that would hurt someone else. And so I made a vow, a promise to God, I promised myself that I would never speak a negative word to anyone. Well, how'd that work out? Not too good. Not too good. You see, like all of you, we all pick up baggage in this life. And the only one that can get rid of baggage in us is really the Lord Jesus Christ. So this baggage comes. In my case, baggage came from a lot of things that I had happen in my family. I had a good family. My father, my mother, wonderful people. My grandfather, good people, very religious people. But my grandfather, he loved me very much, and I still love him. He was a one-day-a-week alcoholic. And he would take his day off, and he would get drunk, and sometimes he would get violent. He wouldn't leave the house without blessing himself. He wouldn't enter the door without blessing himself. But that one day a week, he got into drinking that booze and that beer, and you could set him off, and boy, he could punch out my grandmother or do whatever it was. When my mother, when she was a kid, he had five children, right? On Friday night, whenever night he got off, he would come in. He knew that they did something wrong. He'd spill rice on the floor, on the linoleum floor, and he'd give them a stick and he'd make them kneel in that rice. And then he would whip them for what they did wrong that week. Well, how does that impact your girls? How does that impact your kids? It really gives them a pretty darn poor self-image. And so my mother was always a person who had a lot of class, but it was always like she was like somebody said, Gene, you should have been born with a silver spoon in your mouth. She could talk to anybody. She did well. She became the first ombudsman in New York City on behalf of the elderly, ran that program, was awarded by Mayor Wagner in the city of New York. Just an incredible lady. But she always had this hurt in her life. She never could measure up. She never could be what she wanted to be. And that's a whole other story, but I could tell you that part of it was spiritual. It was demonic in its nature. And all I want to say to you is this here, that the other thing that I found was that the words that were spoken to me that were good, these were the words that blessed me, the words that stood for me. I can remember my great advisor, Mrs. LaBarbera, and some of the things that she had spoken to me about what I could do for the future. I can remember some of the things that happened to me where, you know, I went out and they did these aptitude tests. And they said to me, well, I came back and did the aptitude test. They said, look where you're on these tests. He said, you know, I said, well, what can I do? He said, if you want to be a fireman, you can be a fireman. If you want to be a nuclear physicist, you can be a nuclear physicist. You can be whatever you want to be. Ron, that's up to you. You know, it's kind of interesting, but that's those things, other things that come in and people that encourage you and they build you up. But you know, all of these hurts that I had, these from my family life and all of that, you know what? That puts scars in you. And basically that baggage that's with me, I developed something very good because you see, I was smart and I had a quick mind and I had a wonderful sense of humor. And I could cut you down with my sense of humor like you were sliced bread. I could take you apart with my sense of humor. Yeah, it was funny for me and for the other people around, but it wouldn't be funny for you. And that thing kept coming up until basically the Lord began to show me how to gain victory in these parts of my life. But I digress. So I want to get back to this here. What I'm saying is, all of these things happened about 11 years before I became a Christian. And becoming a Christian changed a lot of things in my life for the better. But having control over my tongue and thinking, it would improve with time and require, what shall I say, a lifelong lip lock and a continuing spiritual battle. From the time that I recognized what was going on to this day and forward, we are in a spiritual war. We have a real devil that wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy our family. The most important thing that you could ever have is good relationships with your wife and with your children. And whether it's alcohol or it's drugs or it's gambling or it's sexual addiction, all of these things the enemy tries to throw into the house to destroy you, take you off course, and basically disrupt the home. And when the home's disrupted and your relationships are disrupted, you find out just how miserable and unhappy you are. And so basically, we need to win that battle. I thank the Lord that He has brought me along far enough to become a preacher and a teacher. And although I'm not perfect, I have enough experience and grace evidenced by my life. You guys know me. You know who I am. I don't have to hide from you. You know, if I have some weaknesses, I'm not the kind of person that's a closet Christian. I don't put on an act when I come into this church. I don't put on an act before people. I am, what you see is what you get. That's it. And sometimes I'm probably a lot tougher from the pulpit than I am in purpose. I'm a pushover sometimes. I shouldn't tell you that. But it's true. I got a tender heart. God's given me a tender heart for people. But I'll tell you what, the one thing that I would like to do in our next step as a church is to come back to some very basic things and help each and every one of you develop what I would call a good confession. Now, we're going to talk about that for weeks, about developing a good confession. But basically, I tell you this. If you have a good confession, it's essential. You'll have a blessed life. God will bless you. You're going to have a great marriage. It's going to improve your marriage. You're going to have better and lasting friendships. You're going to have happiness. And happiness is within your grasp. And so much of it does with having a good confession. In other words, having a bridled tongue. Being able to have control over your tongue, control over your thoughts. I don't know about you, how many of you have arguments with people who aren't there? Hello? How many of you have arguments with people that aren't there? And well, you know, this, they did that. Well, I would say this. But what is that about? Do you think that's normal? Well, it is normal, unfortunately, but the problem is it's not normal in Christ. Christ has a better life for you than internal battles that you fight over and over again. How many of you are out there and all of a sudden you remember what your husband or your wife did or this person or sister or brother did 10 years ago? And you get all riled up. That's called the spirit of memory recall. It's demonic. It gets you off balance. It puts you back into an unstable position. But you can win that battle and not even have to fight it again if you learn how to develop a good confession and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ grows in your heart. So let's go to our scripture today, James chapter 3. And James is the half-brother of Jesus, and here's where he took over the church in Jerusalem. So he was the head apostle in Jerusalem, and we can find that in the book of Acts. And in 1 Corinthians 15. James, let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such you will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, a mature man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put bits into the horse's mouth so that they obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great, they're driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. Forest fires are burning in the British Columbia, burning up millions of acres. Some of them start by lightning. Some of them start by accident. Some start by a cigarette that's been thrown out of the window of a car. Just a little thing starts a big fire. And the tongue is a fire. The very world of iniquity. The tongue is set amongst our members as that which defiles the entire body. It makes the entire body corrupt, defiles it. And it sets on fire the course of our life. Ah! It gives the whole direction to your life. What you say with your mouth sets your day. It sets your morning. It sets what's happened in your life. And then you start going through all of these things and all of these mind battles and all of this crazy stuff goes on in your head. We can win all of that. We can clean that all up. And he goes on to say, for every species of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race, but no one can tame the tongue. Wow, that's sad news, isn't it? But friends, there's hope, because the apostle doesn't leave us there. You see, the tongue can be tamed, but it can't be tamed by you alone. We're going to get to that. With it, no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our Lord and God. We raise our hands. We praise God. We bless Him. And with the same tongue, we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes both blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not to be this way. So in other words, if this is the story and part of your life, what is being said to us right now through the Word of God, through the Holy Scriptures, is that it doesn't have to stay that way. We don't have to put up with that. We don't have to live that way. We can live in a different way. And so he goes on to say, can a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. So basically, as you can see, since we stumble, we can conclude that there are no perfect people. And I know that I'm talking to imperfect people, and I know that I'm imperfect. But I know that God's got me, and we're going down a road, and we're getting better and better as time goes on. And I can say this to you, how we talk, we can't stay where we are. We can't just say we're imperfect people and stay there. We must do what's necessary to bring our tongues under control, to get our life going in the right direction. But if we can do that, bring it under control, we can change the entire direction of our life for good. We can have a better life. That's what I said to you right from the beginning. Hey, listen, you can have a better marriage. You can have a better life. You can have a blessed. You can. All of those things, Jesus presents it to us. It's ours for the taking. But it takes a little effort. So if we identify with Christ, our goal must be to reflect Christ within all of our relationships. How we talk and treat our spouses. That's important. How we talk to our children. You'll never amount to nothing. I'll get your face. You're pain in the... No. Listen, I've told you stories of people that 3 years old have been destroyed by a father that just went, just home to color within the lines. We can do a lot of damage to our children. These are precious, precious blessings that God's given us. He's put these children in our care. They belong to Him according to the scripture. They're His children. But we're responsible for raising them in the admonition and the nurture of the Lord. We have to raise them for Christ. They're not just ours. They belong to Him. You've been blessed. And He expects you to do something with that blessing. So, all the people, how we deal with all of them is a direct reflection of who we are. Christ has to be formed in us. To this we must set our heart and make an intelligent effort to that end. I say an intelligent effort to that end because there's a lot of things that people do and they just don't know how to move from point A to point B. Let me tell you something. You know in life, you can see where you want to go. You know where you are, but you don't know how to get there. How many of you ever been in that situation in your life? We all have. Every one of us has been there. We're stuck someplace. And the same thing with this. We have to know how to move from where we are and see where we are, number one, and know where we want to go and know how to get there. That's what we're going to be doing in this series of messages combined with the journaling, and anybody can join the journaling class. So let me read on here with James. James 3, verse 13. This is important. Because he just said it shouldn't be this way, and now he's going to give us some insight into the problem. What is he going to teach us? What's the Lord going to teach us here? He said, who among you is wise and understanding? I think you are wise and understanding. We have a lot of wise and understanding people here. Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in gentleness and wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. In other words, what does it mean, be arrogant and lie against the truth? I want you to think about that. It means you know that you're wrong, but you're going to take the position that the other person's got to change. But I'm okay. I'm the righteous one. My wife, not so righteous. I'm the righteous one. My husband, not so righteous. See, the thing is, we always find a way to avoid change. We have to understand that, and we have to be able to be honest with ourselves. And he said that this wisdom, that is selfish ambition, jealousy, and arrogance, is not which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. I want you to remember demonic because so many of the issues are literally demonic, but they're also natural and they are earthly. In other words, what goes with man. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy, and the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And by the way, the righteous seed of Jesus is also referred to as the righteous seed. So when I say form Christ in you, that's the issue. So what I'm going to say is this in closing. Your tongue, my tongue, is directly attached to our hearts. It's attached to your heart. Your tongue is attached to your heart. Now, your heart is who you are. That's your inner person. That's what you think. That's that, and then of course the feelings come out of the emotions we have. But our thinking, that's who you are inside. Nobody knows who you are, but you and God. I don't know what goes on in your head. You can come, you can smile at me, you can say you're a wonderful guy, Pastor Ron, and meanwhile at the same time you're thinking, oh, you know what? I don't want to listen to that guy. I don't like him. I don't know what's in your heart. Only God knows what's in your heart completely. And you know what's in your hearts. And the second thing is, so your heart is who you are. And if it's not right, we need to change it. But we can't change it by ourselves. So here's what, I want to make this point. Luke 6 and verse 45. This is what Jesus said. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Your mouth is attached to your heart. Hello? Can you see it? Can you say amen? It's so. Amen. It's so. All right? So you may say, I'm not evil, but what's inside your heart? Remember what the Apostle James said. He said, you know, St. James says very simply, he says, look, he said, this is going on. Salt and fresh water are coming out. That's not the way it's supposed to be. How can you bless God and then curse men who are made in his image? So you can see that you can have both going on in you. That's part of life growing up. And again, it's the whole communion and relationship and intimacy with the person of Jesus Christ that will make the difference in your life. So you may say, I'm not evil. But again, what's in your heart? What are you thinking? Your uncontrolled emotions have a way. What you're thinking and your uncontrolled emotions have a way of finding their way to your mouth and into your actions, for better or for worse. And remember what my friend said. It's so true. Bible says it in so many different ways. Words, some people say words are cheap, but all the money in the world can't buy them back. And it takes a lot to undo the damage that we do. But we can do a lot of blessing too. Bible talks about words of grace. You know what a word of grace is? Hey, you know what? You did a great job there, even though that was the job they were supposed to do. Well, that's my job, then why would you compliment me on it? That's a word of grace. It's a blessing. It lets people know that they're doing well, that they're loved, that they're seen. It's a good thing to do. Words of grace. We need them. We all need them. Men need a lot of attaboys. I got to tell you that. That's one thing. So basically, let's agree with Jesus and let's make our confession and our mouth and our life better. Let's begin to set our minds on that and think about it today and make a decision that we're not going to stay where we are, but we're going to move forward in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 3:1 says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus. Think carefully upon him. Look closely at him. The apostle, the one sent forth, the sent forth one, and the high priest, the one who offers up our confession to the Father. That's what he does. He offers up our confession to the Father. There's much to learn about confession, but it's something that we need to make right. So, let's stand together. To agree with something, confession of faith in someone, confessing Christ. Faith and confession are linked together in the Bible. We're saved, according to Romans 10:10, we're saved by our confession of faith. In other words, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart Jesus is Lord, confess with your mouth that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart a man believes unto righteousness, and with confession is made unto salvation. So they're linked together. So important is this concept of confession. So Heavenly Father, as we stand in your presence on this day, September 3rd, 2017, I just want to thank you for the Word of God. I want to thank you for who you are. And I would ask you, Lord, that you would look into each and every person that's here, into their hearts. And you would disclose their hearts to them. And Father, that you would find in them a willing heart, a tender heart, that says, here I am, Lord. I want to be more like you. Here I am, Lord. Work your will in my life. Help me grow in faith and be the person that you have called me to be, that I might be a blessing to you, Lord, and you always a blessing to me. I thank you, Father, for this wonderful group of people that are in this hearing of my voice today. And I just ask you to work your love in their hearts, work your life in them. And Father, that they would come and they would learn how to grow and develop a good confession. And that at the end, Father, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life even unto death. And I thank you, Father, for the faithful saints that have gone before us and that will come after us if you delay your return. We just ask your blessing on us today, on our children. Help us as parents, better husbands and wives. Keep us from all of the distractions and the minutia, Father, that so clouds our lives and gets us out of focus. And Father, let us see the things that are earthly, the things that are natural, and the things that are demonic, and know the difference between them, that we might be able to deal with them appropriately. Father, you want a clean house. We're your house. Clean us, Lord. Bless us. We just thank you, Lord. Encourage us. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. And the people of God said, amen.